what we do know about Dzhokhar Tsarnaev was that he was involved in a ferocious firefight with the police last night. His brother was killed in that firefight. What we have not been able to determine, what the police apparently do not know themselves, is whether Dzhokhar might have been wounded in that firefight. We have no idea, but when you listen to the firefight that was recorded on videotape, when you hear the police officials tell you that 200 rounds were exchanged and the brother was killed, if Dzhokhar Tsarnaev was not wounded in that firefight, it would be a very surprising thing. But again, we do not have any solid information on that. The police themselves apparently do not know. He escaped on foot in the night while that firefight was underway. Police officer was gravely wounded, shot in that firefight, and Dzhokhar Tsarnaev's brother, 26-year-old Tamerlan, was killed. So, want to bring you up to date on where we are right now and what you're seeing. This is a neighborhood in Watertown, Massachusetts, north of the Charles River from Boston. This has been the area that police have been searching intensively all day long with armored vehicles and SWAT teams, house by house, block by block, all day looking for what they believe is the last remaining suspect.
731 WCCO, you are listening to live coverage from Boston as the search narrows on the second suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. This 19-year-old man apparently holed up in a boat. Authorities surround him. Let's go back live now to coverage on WCCO.
Last night, shortly after the FBI released videotape of the suspects that was recorded just before the bombing by surveillance cameras, after that videotape, this is the videotape that was released yesterday evening. That was subject number one in the black hat, followed by subject number two in the white hat. These men carrying backpacks that the police had connected to the bombing itself from the debris that was picked up after the bombing. They released those pictures. They did not know who those men were, did not have their identities. But within several hours, and we do not know why these events were touched off in the middle of the night, but within several hours of those pictures being released to the public, two men murdered a police officer working for the police department at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Young police officer, 26 years old, had been with the department about a year. Sean Collier was his name. He was murdered in his police car. It was shortly after that that a car was hijacked on the road by armed men. The driver was thrown from the car, was not injured by the men who had taken the car. He called police and said that he believed he'd been hijacked by the Boston Marathon bombing suspects. A police chase ensued. The people driving the hijacked car began throwing bombs at the pursuing police officers. At a certain point, that car stopped and a firefight began. We were told late today, by the authorities that 200 rounds were exchanged in that firefight. John Miller's sources have told him that a bomb of similar design to the ones used on Monday at the race, one of those bombs was thrown at the police officers engaged in this firefight. It exploded. It apparently malfunctioned. It did not explode with the same intensity as the bombs on Monday, but part of the bomb was found later embedded in one of the police cars. In this firefight, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, 26 years old, was killed. Police officer was shot and gravely wounded. But Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, 19 years old, fled on foot. They've been looking for him ever since. About 2.5 hours ago, a news conference was held which essentially said, we've lost him. People in the Boston and its northern suburbs who had been told to stay in their homes and lock their doors were told that it was essentially safe to come out as long as they were vigilant. And there was a vow that the suspect would be caught at some point. But it was only 20 or 30 minutes later that a report of a man in the same area that had been searched was found around a boat, perhaps in a boat, at this address, 67 Franklin in Watertown. That's the house that you see there in a still photograph on the left. And as you can see, there is a boat there. There was a report of a man in the boat. Shots were fired. We have multiple witnesses that told us that. We watched a couple of hours ago as police cars, ambulances, and fire vehicles raced into this neighborhood, and that is where it stands today. We do not know if the man who was spotted is indeed the suspect they are looking for, but this is a massive police presence here. And as John Miller was telling us earlier, police tactics in a situation like this would be to slow things down. Try to talk to the suspect. Try to prevent further violence. Take control of the timeline of these events. John, the FBI team is there leading this investigation. You're a former assistant director of the FBI. What would be standard procedure in a situation like this?
Well, you've got all your tools there, so you've got the luxury of having slowed the incident down and to apply those tools. We can't tell what's going on from here, but standard procedure would be, first I'd want to look around that boat, and I would want to look around that boat with somebody who couldn't get hurt, so I would elect my robot. I would have the bomb robot or a tactical robot go down there and look around with its camera, with its lights. Some of those robots can talk, because somebody can pick up a microphone on the other end of it and talk through a speaker. I might try and start that dialogue right then. So I'd like to look at it remotely. Once I learned what the surroundings were remotely, I might consider how to approach that, either with SWAT people or bomb people or a combination of the two. But first I'd like to get some visual and audio intelligence. And then after that, it depends on what the response is. Do you have a visual engagement with somebody? Do they talk back to you through your remote ability with the robot? Do you use a bullhorn? Do you use a throw phone, where you throw a phone in and say, pick it up and talk to me? Or if you get no response, then you have to decide the number of different ways you can use to approach entering that boat. And at this moment, because you always have to consider the possibility that the suspect has access to media, smartphone, something. I won't go through those options, but they know what they are, and there's a few.
John, let's remind the viewers of one of the first things that happened today was that the police raided the home of the bomb suspects. A lot was found there. A lot was found there that informs why they're being so cautious now. Remind us of what was found by the bomb squad.
So they found some explosive material, and they found what appeared to be some completed improvised explosive devices. Nothing terribly exotic or even as interesting from a bomb maker's perspective as the pressure cooker bomb, but you did have a number of pipe bombs with internal threads capped off with fuses right there. So it suggests, it certainly forces the question, what were those devices for? What was to come next? Was this to be saved as offensive devices in some engagement with the police? Or was there another target for these devices that they were waiting for that might explain why no one ever claimed responsibility for the Marathon bomb? So that location offered a number of hazards and opened a number of questions.
We were told today that the bomb squad was able to take the explosive material, the bombs, out of the house and secure all of that so it is no longer a threat. As we continue to watch this live event unfold before our eyes, let me bring Bob Orr back into the conversation. Bob, you have some new information.
Well, Scott, we're going to do a little housekeeping here and clean up some reports that are out there. Today, just to give you an example, as we wait for the situation to play out there in Watertown, to give you an example of how far the investigation reached, there were some search warrants served at UMass Dartmouth in New Bedford, Mass. And what I'm told, and a number of places have reported this, They've reported that three people have been taken into custody in connection with the bombing investigation. Now, here's what actually went on, according to an official I talked to. He said, look, there was a reason to believe that the suspect that they're still looking for, the suspect who we now think might be in that boat, may be at this location, a home in New Bedford, Massachusetts, because there were some associates there and friends and suite mates. He went to school there for a while. So people were kind of separated. They were detained. But here's the key. They were not arrested. And as far as we know, there is no connection with these folks and the bombing investigation. But this has been such a chaotic and changeable situation. And it's been such fast-moving events on so many different fronts. I just wanted to make sure we got that out there on the record, that as far as we know, even now, the only two men who officials believe were directly linked to the bombing were the two brothers, the two Chechen brothers. One, as we've reported, is dead. The other, we think now, the subject of a manhunt, may be at that location at the boat on Franklin Street. Scott?
Bob, thank you. Jokhar Tsarnaev, the man on the right, the 19-year-old that the police are looking for, was a student at that university, the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth campus. And Anthony Mason spoke with someone there today, a fellow student, who said that Tsarnaev was there.
WCCO, you are listening to continuing coverage from Boston on the apparent surrounding of a boat where the 19-year-old Boston Marathon bombing suspect is in. Let's rejoin coverage from Boston on WCCO at 7:41.
Spot in Watertown, Massachusetts, where there's a boat stored in a backyard, and they had reason to believe that there was someone in that boat. Indeed, Massachusetts State Police confirmed that shots were fired and that there was a male in that boat. That male at the time was said to be still alive. All right, we're going to go back to our coverage. We hear cheers going up.
There's some traffic on the police radio frequency that a suspect is in custody, and a cheer went up. Now, none of this is verified, but it explains why the crowd there sent up that cheer a moment ago. You're watching live coverage of the manhunt for the Boston Marathon bombing. It's a live picture. The scene, at least some of the personnel there are apparently leaving. There has been communication on the police radio that a suspect is in custody. A cheer went up. But we have not been able to confirm yet that the suspect they're talking about is Jokhar Tsarnaev, the 19-year-old who has been the subject of a search all day long. Lou Young is a reporter for WCBS. He has been in that neighborhood for some time. Lou, as we watch these live events unfold, what are you seeing from your position?
Well, what we're seeing is a lot of people who are listening to that same radio frequency that you were talking about, but we have no confirmation. The ambulance is on its way down there. They've called for that, and I can tell you about 40 minutes ago, they asked for a fire truck, a ladder truck, to clear this barricade, and that fire truck is now standing at the head of the street there, waiting to move in. We also saw a number of what would we call federal law enforcement assets that we wouldn't want to characterize move in, but they were not moving very fast. They were taking their time, and it seemed to be a very methodical operation here. We don't know if anything has broken, but we do see some movement in the back there now as some of the vehicles are beginning to move around.
So we're watching this live picture. This ambulance has moved up toward the house that has been surrounded by police over the last 3 hours or so.
So
John Miller?
What we're told from the scene is, and they're still being very careful, they're not saying it was the suspect, but they're saying whoever was on that boat, they have called for an ambulance. So this could be a step that tells us they're getting somebody off of that boat.
And to remind the folks at home, it was about 3 hours ago that there was a report of a man hiding in a boat behind a house. Police converged on that area, shots were fired, and then we have been watching and waiting. This is a photograph of that address that had been taken at an earlier time, but there you see there is indeed a boat behind the house. The police, the FBI, National Guard have been searching this part of Watertown, Massachusetts all day long, intensively, house by house by house. They had essentially given up that search about 3 hours ago. They had a news conference and said that they had lost the suspect and that people could go about their business as they normally do. They were lifting the lockdown. But about half an hour after that, we heard the report of the man in the boat, shots fired, and we've been watching the scene live ever since. Is this the moment that the second suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing has been captured? We do not know yet. Police radio frequencies a moment ago described someone in custody at this scene. There was a cheer that went up from the crowd, but we do not have confirmation that the man who is in custody, the man who was seen around the boat, is in fact 19-year-old Jokhar Tsarnaev, the last remaining suspect in the Boston Marathon bombings. His brother, as you may know, was killed last night when the two brothers
were involved. You're listening to continuing live coverage from CBS News of the events in Massachusetts today, specifically in Watertown, Massachusetts, where police have been searching for the second suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. And just minutes ago, we got word that someone, according to the police radios, someone had been taken into custody. We heard a cheer go up from the crowd, and then immediately thereafter, an ambulance crew went in toward the scene where this man was believed to have been surrounded on a boat stored in a backyard in Watertown. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan is in Watertown. Steve, where are you and what have you got?
Well, that cheer seemed to go up from the rear of the house where much of the activity has apparently been going on. We were stationed maybe 75 yards to the front of it where there's a small cordon of police officers, five or six perhaps, and I'm just looking at them again, and they have pretty much dispersed at the moment. There's a couple of them still left. So they may have, in fact, moved in behind that house to help with whatever's going on back there. And again, a lot of it is still sketchy, but that cheer did go up toward the back of the house. So people from that particular end may have seen something that that signaled the end of this standoff at long last. Police here in this parking lot sort of staging area have not really moved much. There's an ambulance on standby on this side, and we are told that one has responded to the rear of the house.
So the police that you can see have not responded in any meaningful way. Their body language doesn't indicate any sense of relief or anything like that at this point.
No, the only thing was that there were about six, maybe seven of them stationed to the front of the house, and they've all moved in different directions. Some came this way, some seemed to go toward the house, and again, there seems to be a more relaxed feel to this side of it. But again, the real action, if you were, happened toward the back, apparently, where this boat was and where this standoff or showdown took place.
Okay, Steve, now we do have some definition on this. There's a tweet from Boston Police that just came in. It says, suspect in custody, officers sweeping the area, stand by for further info. So that is the official confirmation now that this is indeed the suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing who has been sought since a shootout with police last night that killed his older brother.
So that would indicate that he is still alive, which would give them all sorts of questioning opportunities. And again, we did hear a siren after the cheer went up. Perhaps that was law enforcement taking him away. Police helicopter still remains overhead here, as it has been for much of the last couple of hours as this sort of played out.
Well, we know that the authorities did want to take this young man alive, especially since his brother is already dead. They hope to learn a great deal more about the genesis of this incident. What prompted these young men to, as they allegedly did, plant two bombs along the route of the Boston Marathon and then stage further mayhem last night, which left one police officer dead and another very critically wounded? Steve, In the situation right there where you are you able to give us any sense of what the mood is in that search area?
Well, at the time you just spoke, several police cars have left, so this is breaking down very quickly here. What we had is a tight cordon of police keeping us all back is now starting to drift away. They are still keeping the crowd back, but several police officers have left. The mood is definitely a lot less tense. I mean, there's much more police activity in terms of walking around from car to car, whereas people had pretty much held their positions for what seemed like more than an hour once those flashbangs went off at that particular time, which was the only real activity we heard for probably an hour and a half after the original shots and heavy activity outside the house when police moved in, and then several of them moved back, and they seemed to set up a perimeter around the area.
And now we see video of police officers coming away from the scene, and they seem to be very relaxed, walking slowly, many of them on cell phones. It seems to me everyone is sort of disbanding and dispersing at this point because this operation is over. And indeed, the Boston police on Twitter just a few minutes ago, said the suspect is in custody. That is the suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. They say officers are sweeping the area, and they tell the media to stand by for further info. Presumably, sometime this evening, there will be a briefing to explain to us what exactly happened tonight and how it was resolved. Let's return now to CBS News correspondent Scott Pelley and his coverage of these events.
Traffic on the police radio frequency that an arrest had been made. They called for an ambulance. The ambulance went in front of the house. We have not seen what's happened with that ambulance since. We have not seen it leave. Presumably, this suspect has been injured in some way. Coverage of the Boston Police and FBI operation. That has been going on all day in order to attempt to capture the second suspect in Boston Marathon bombings. We keep hearing cheers from the crowd. Police radio traffic has indicated that a suspect has been arrested. An ambulance was called to the house that they've surrounded. Presumably the suspect that has been arrested is injured. We do not have official confirmation yet, however, that the suspect is in fact the 19-year-old that the police and the FBI have been searching for. We will stay with this as these events unfold. Lou Young, WCBS reporter, has been right there at the neighborhood from the moment this all began. Lou, what are you hearing? What do you see?
A lot of cheering, a lot of congratulations, kudos over the radio, and police officers coming back, thumbs up, it's all good, it's over, it's done. So that seems to seal the deal from tight-lipped police officers who haven't said anything to us since the beginning of this, that they have the person they were looking for. You see the situation down here, this crowd,
Lou,
very jubilant, they started
Lou,
cheering several times.
Lou, can I just interrupt you for a moment? Lou, can I just interrupt you for a moment? Mayor Menino, the mayor of Boston, has just tweeted, quote, "We got him," end quote. So this would appear to be confirmation of what we have suspected all along. To bring the audience up to speed on what is happening, it appears that the last remaining suspect from the Boston Marathon bombings has been arrested. It seems he has been taken alive. An ambulance has been called, so it is likely that he has been injured in some way. There has been an intense manhunt for this man all day long in the area there in the northern suburbs of Boston. But about 3 hours ago, a report came to police that someone had discovered a man hiding in a boat. Police converged on it. We believe that this is the ambulance that is carrying the suspect away. Police converged on the boat. Shots were fired. We waited about 3 hours. Now we have heard from the Boston police and from the mayor of Boston that the suspect has been captured, apparently captured alive. Now, the ambulance did not seem to be in a great hurry in departing. We have no idea what the condition of the suspect is, but the ambulance clearly it did not appear to be in a great hurry as it was leaving. John Miller has more information on this breaking news story. John?
All right, so now that the tactical piece is over and we don't have the risk of endangering anybody, let's walk you through everything that happened here. What we have is the lockdown was all day, and as it's lifted, one of these people, the gentleman who owns that house on Franklin, for the first time, because he's been locked in all day, decides he's going to go outside and check on things. He walks to the back of the house, and he sees a what appears to be a tear in the tarp covering his boat. So he gets a ladder and climbs up to see what the rip is about, and he says, I lift it up, and inside I see a bloody mess. He goes back into the house. He dials 911. The first three people there are three Boston police officers. Billy Evans, who is related to Paul Evans, the police commissioner from several years ago. Robert Murner and Lieutenant Paul O'Connor. And they take a look in. They take a look at the tear in the tarp. They climb up to look in the boat. And they see something pokes up. And then there is a shot fired. There's a what appears to be, and I always have to caveat, this is unfolding quickly, so it's fairly preliminary, appears to be a gun battle that then occurs between the police and the suspect. At that point, they're ordered by the incident commander to stop firing, and there's a lull in the action. And that's when we talk about that reset, where they're going to slow this down.
We are watching live coverage of the arrest of the remaining suspect in the Boston Marathon bombers. There have been cheers from this crowd. An ambulance was called to this location. John Miller's information was that a homeowner, and we have a photograph of that home, if we can bring that into part of the frame, photograph of that home. There is a boat behind the home. John Miller's information was that this homeowner came out, saw a rip in the tarp over the boat, looked inside, saw blood, called the police, and John, the Boston police responded. They saw the man inside, and then that's when this tactical situation that we've been watching for 3 hours began.
And what we're told is that a shot came from the boat. There were shots exchanged, and this is preliminary, between the police and the suspect on the boat. And then the incident commander said, cease fire and set up a perimeter. So they set up a very tight perimeter around this location. And then at that point, the FBI's elite hostage rescue team, because the FBI is the lead agency here, and that is their top SWAT team, responded to the scene and took over tactical command of that scene. And once they had the bomb techs clear the pathway to make sure there were no devices or booby traps, the HRT operators approached the boat, got a look inside, came inside, pulled this suspect out. They had some help from the helicopter that was up there saying, we can see movement inside the boat. So they knew they were dealing with someone who was likely still alive at that point, and he was taken into custody.
So to tell the audience at this moment, headline of the moment, the suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing, Jokhar Tsarnaev, 19 years old, has been captured. He's been captured alive, but he's been wounded. How seriously, we do not know. The police found him in a boat behind a house in the same area that they had been searching all day. Now,